So we continue our spiritual gifts series, and if you haven't been with us, if you're new to us, we've been working on this series that looks at the 16 spiritual gifts, gifts that are announced in the scriptures that are given to God's people in different ways, and we all have different combinations of gifts, and there's a booklet at the back if you want to grab one later. If you haven't taken the spiritual gifts discovery, you can take a 5-10 minute online assessment and know your top three gifts. And once you know your top three gifts, don't forget to pick up your top three gift key tags and put them on your key ring to help you keep remembering what are the gifts that God has given to you. Also, each week, Katrina Johns, our equipping coordinator, has been interviewing people in the congregation who have that week's specific gift. So let's hear a few people talk about their gift of helps. See, we're working, we have a couple of people who are going to start helping with all the technical stuff, which is great because sometimes I need it.
It's not the feedback that you get from people. It's just knowing that a void has been filled, that you know someone has something that they need assistance with, and being able to do something to help fill that void.
I'm fortunate that I have some high school kids where I still work part-time, and I try to bring them along and mentor them in not only their educational studies, but also in their life skills. It means that Christ has blessed me with the ability to help others. Not that I do an awful lot of it, but it helps me. It provides me with the a reason to help people, which is to bring glory to God.
I love Paul's answer there at the end, that helping people is a way to bring glory to God. Just like I was talking about with the kids, right? We help one another because Jesus loves us. And the working definition we've got is accomplish practical and necessary tasks that free up support and meet the needs of others. And all of our texts encourage all of us to help others. The Leviticus passage that Glenn read, it's all about how to live in such a way that you are serving the people around you. You're either doing things to help them or refraining from doing things that are going to hurt them. Jesus, of course, tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, which helps us to realize that any person we come across is our neighbor, and if we can, let's help them. And then our Titus passage helps us to see that this all flows out of our faith in Jesus. Here's what I want you to keep in mind as we're talking about this. We're all called to help others. Some of us, with the gift of helps, you're just more attuned to the needs around you, more attuned to the ways that you can just step in. Also, those with the gift of helps, that's just a more, it's like a better fit. Like, that's how you're going to serve, freeing up others to serve in their top gifts. But here's what Paul says to Titus. Paul writes this letter to Titus, a pastor on the island of Crete. And Paul is instructing Titus to teach the congregation to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Paul's helping Titus to see you got to keep teaching the congregation to go out and to serve others, to help others. I'm not exactly sure all that was what was going on Crete. Maybe, you know, some of the people on Crete, it's an island, I don't know, what do they drink on the island of Crete? Looking back at Ralph Danielson, he's traveled a lot. Do you know what they drink on the island of Crete? I don't know, margaritas or something. Probably not margaritas. Wine. But maybe they're just kind of sitting back. They're like, Jesus loves me. This is great. And they're just kind of sitting back and having a drink of wine and just kind of, you know, chilling. And Titus is saying, look, we can't just sit here. Let's devote ourselves to good works. Let's see where there are urgent cases. How do we help the people around us? But if you go back in our passage from Titus chapter 3, and also happens to be in the generosity liturgy today, it all flows out of the renewal of the Holy Spirit, poured out on us richly, or poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ. That's where the good works flow. That's where the gift of helps flows from. It all flows from the Holy Spirit at work in us. You see, this is a dangerous topic to talk about helping other people. It's a dangerous topic to talk about good works. If you've been a longtime Lutheran, you know why it's dangerous to talk about good works. If you haven't been a Lutheran very long, maybe you've heard of this. And if you're newer, that's okay. Here's why it's dangerous to talk about good works. Because as soon as we talk about good works, it starts to sound like that's how we earn God's love. And that was a big piece of the Reformation and Martin Luther, 16th century. We'll check in on the history later. But that's the thing. Is if we start to think that our good works are helping others, is how we earn something from God, we're getting everything backwards. We're getting everything topsy-turvy. So it's dangerous, but I'm going to trust that you're going to stick with me. That even if I tell you some stories about people with the gift of helps, I'm trusting you're going to stick with me and know that our good works, our helps, flow from the Holy Spirit. They flow from what Christ has already done. Can you do that with me? Okay, two people are going to help me with that. The rest of you must not have the gift of helps because you're not helping me. No, just stick with me. Our helping, whether it's the gift of helps or any other gift, whether it's just helping because that's what we're called to do, that all flows from what Christ has already done for us. It's not about us doing something to earn something. Here's a way to say it. Your good works point to the new life in you and bring God's new life to others and His creation. Your good works, whether you have the gift of helps or you've got other gifts, your good works point to the new life in you, what Christ has done in you, the life of Christ that He has put in you through your baptism. And it brings God's new life to others and His creation. Here's one way to think about it, okay? Oops. All right. Palm Sunday. Remember Palm Sunday? Jesus is going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, but He needs a donkey. All right, and there was no Enterprise, and so there was no Enterprise, rent a donkey, we'll pick you up. So He sent two disciples on ahead of them into the next town. And He said, go into the next town. You'll find a donkey there. Keys will already be in it. Take the donkey. We have need of it. Now, so there's the two disciples. And they go in the next town. They find the donkey and they bring it back to Him. Right? And then Jesus rides into Jerusalem and everybody is praising God. It is not about the two disciples. I mean, we know about them. We don't actually know which two disciples it was. That part of the story is there to show that Jesus had this all lined up, but it was never really about, hey, these two guys are so great. They help and they do all these things. They know how to wrangle a donkey. No, none of that. It's all focused on Jesus. We need the donkey so that Jesus can ride into Jerusalem because the new life is in Him. So the two disciples, gift of helps, right? It is awesome. But it was all to accomplish this practical, necessary task so that they could continue this ministry, so that Jesus could continue the ministry. Their good works literally pointed to the new life, because their good work put Jesus on the donkey and was able to point to the new life that's in Jesus. And they brought God's new life to others through helping him be on that donkey. And that's how I remember my grandpa. That's the story behind the background picture today. My grandpa had the gift of helps. And as soon as I thought of gift of helps, I think of grandpa, Palmer Mickelson. These are some of his tools that I still have on my workbench, and his little name plate that I've got on my workbench. Grandpa died about 19 years ago. And he was great with tools, worked for Thermo King, working on the refrigeration units on semis. But he was great with tools, great with carpentry. I learned a lot from him. But he had the gift of helps. Here's one way I remember knowing about it. My home congregation had an early childhood center. And when it first started, Grandpa and his friend Ernie, they were retired, they were handy, and so they lent hands to help get the early childhood center, the ECC, up and running. They built bookshelves, did other things. Remember, my grandpa built a bunch of those, they were like wood blocks, and they had Crayola marker caps glued into them, and so then the kids can just put their crayon in and pull the marker out. All kinds of things like that. They just were helpful. And they spent a lot of time there, usually during the day. But what's amazing to me is, Grandpa probably would have said he was just doing behind-the-scenes work, right? No big deal. Just cutting a few boards here and there. But they went in so often during the day that the kids knew him. Here comes Mr. Palmer, is what they called him. Here he was doing these practical, necessary, behind-the-scenes tasks, but then God says, you know, I'm going to use this for some other reasons. Grandpa was accomplishing those tasks, but it was for this reason. The good works in him pointed to the new life in him. And it brought God's new life to those children. There was this one toddler, Jackson, who as soon as my grandpa would walk into the door, Jackson would come running to give Grandpa a hug. And it wasn't because he said, you know, you are so great with a saw. Thank you. We've got some more assignments for you. Jackson just saw the new life of God working in my grandpa, and so Jackson would run to help. Your good works point to the new life in you. Whether you have the gift of helps or not, this is true for all of us in our gifts. Your good works point to the new life in you, the way that Jesus is already at work. So what's this mean for someone who has the gift of helps? Well, here's another picture I found. Look at this gift. I love this. So these people look very much at peace, right? But notice what they're holding. What do you got there? A rake, extension cord, and a paint roller. These people are feeling at peace even while holding those three tools. And we were doing some painting this week, and I can tell you, if I'm holding a paint roller, there is not that look on my face. I do not have the gift of paint helping, all right? But this is a great picture, because it just shows you the people with the gift of helps, it comes to them right away. It's just a free expression. They're not fighting against things. They're just, I think Susan Boardman says, it's just intuitive. They see a need, they step in, they're feeling at peace about it. And the rest of us, we can help, and we do. But for some, it's just much more intuitive. This is what gives some people peace. Here's another story. That's Javier Ramon from the congregation. This was back on the day of the Easter egg hunt. And everybody was out in the courtyard area towards Grand having the Easter egg hunt, and they had started to do the work on Grand, tearing up the road, And I don't remember if the police noticed it first or Javier or somebody else, but they noticed there was this big long piece of rebar, steel wire, sticking out in the road, and everybody was driving over it, and eventually it's gonna damage a vehicle. And so the police came, they blocked off, but they weren't exactly sure what to do with it. So Javier's out there, they were trying something, and then Joe Richard Sr., they live up the street, he ran home to get some bolt cutters, they cut it, everybody could start driving again. Meanwhile, the egg hunt continues. Javier, Joe Sr., I think Joe Jr., they were attuned to this. They saw a need, and they saw that they could help with it. That's how it works. People with the gift of help sometimes feel like they don't have gifts because they're just doing what they're instructed by God to do. They're doing what's intuitive. They don't realize that they're divinely designed to be more attuned to needs, more apt to step into traffic, more willing to do what is needed so others can continue their work. Here's the last thing on that. More attuned to the needs of others so that others can continue their work. How many of you have the gift of helps in your top three gifts? How many of you? Yeah, I thought so. A lot of you do. But some of us don't. So I want you to imagine the scenario sometime when we're having fellowship or something down in the fellowship hall, and you, somebody with not the gift of helps, maybe you have the gift of encouragement or something. And you're talking to somebody, and you're trying to encourage them, support them through something, you've gotten into a conversation, and you don't even notice that somebody with the gift of helps comes up, takes your dirty dishes from the meal or whatever, takes them away, so that the two of you can keep having that conversation. That's how these things work. The gift of helps steps in so somebody else can continue using their gift. That's how God uses us. He uses us in these ways so that our good works point to the new life in each of us, and that his mission continues through each of us. And this is how it works, so that you can earn salvation. Where are the people with the gift of wisdom and discernment? I just said something wrong. Today is about your good works pointing to Jesus. He's the true helper. It's his life at work in you. You have been freed from trying to save yourself so that you can go and help and serve others. That's why we asked Jackie Lynn from Elder Care to be here today. There's ways that you can get involved and help and serve others. And we want you to know about that. That's why we keep coming together to one another and saying, here's some opportunities to serve. Here's some ways to use your gifts. Because it all points back to bringing glory to God. It points to the new life in you. It points to Jesus. He gets the glory. So, are you going to remember that? I'm on dangerous footing, right? But it shouldn't be dangerous footing. We get to rejoice. We got this great God who loves us, who forgives us, who died for us, who rose again for us. And he says, I'm going to send you out. I took care of this thing. That's my gift. You get to go use your gifts for the glory of the kingdom and the serving of one another. Praise God for that. Amen.